The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 5th of August, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Dan Betts, Chief Executive Officer of Hummingbird Resources, HUM, sticker there. And Dan talks about the increased production and reduced costs for the second quarter at its Yanfolila gold mine. Also on the podcast, Tony Sirichik, Chief Executive Officer of Salt Lake Potash, that's SO4, and Tony discusses how they've secured project financing of $150 million for the Lake Way project in Australia. Plus, as always, I have two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs today. And it's a bit of a brutal deal in the markets, eh? A lot of red out there. But nevertheless, some companies still rising, some being well followed, and some RNS being well liked. I'll get to that in a bit.
To receive free company updates straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases significant news, download the free Vox Markets app from voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dan Betts, Chief Executive Officer of Hummingbird Resources, HUM. Mr. Ticker there. Dan, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Justin. Morning.
Morning. I've just been looking at you. Do you know what? Everything's flying. I mean, ETF golds are flying. Gold is starting to fly. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, of course. The trade war's going on. People are devaluing their currencies. And gold is doing very well. But your share price is lagging. It hasn't caught up yet. But looking at your updates, I think it could be about to. And before we get into the update, Dan, for people not familiar with the company, could you give a brief summary as to what Hummingbird Resources is all about, please?
Yeah, sure. So Hummingbird Resources is a gold mining company with a producing mine in Mali called Yanfolila and a development asset in Liberia. And we are producing circa 10,000 ounces of gold a month from our mine in Mali.
And that's pretty much, is that round about target?
Yes, that's right. So I think to answer your first point, Justin, I agree with your analysis of Hummingbird's share price at the moment, and I think it is lagging. That said, it's come off its lows about 3 months ago, where it got down as low as sort of 12p. We had a very poor Q1 where our production was down sort of 25-30% on our design, and that continued into Q2. With April, we only produced 7,000 ounces of gold, but in May and June and carrying on into July, we've got back up towards nameplate design, sort of 10,000 ounces a month. And I think it's only fair that it takes a while for confidence in that to come through in the market. So, you know, as long as Hummingbird continues to show that recovery and that performance and steady delivery, I think that hopefully that will translate through into share price. As you say, gold price going through the roof and everybody else motoring ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to simplify it, because, you know, there are people, there's a lot of people who understand grades and ore mines and all that stuff. But if you look at it, your all-in sustaining costs were like $998 an ounce. And let's say for round figures, you do 100. I know your target is above that. But let's say you do 100,000 ounces this year. And at the moment, the gold price is close to 1,500. Let's be conservative again. Let's just say, you know, you get $300 clear profit and all those. That's 30 million. And your valuation is 76. So it's not even 2 years of that. But that's being very conservative. And I, a lot of people are saying gold is going a lot higher. Your all-in sustaining cost is coming down. So if you double that even, you'll be doing close to your valuation in 1 year in profit. Is that achievable?
Well, I mean, to be honest, Justin, if we only achieve what you've just said, I'll be extremely disappointed. I mean, we've retained our guidance, and I'm sure that we will be able to improve our production from Q1 this year. But also your numbers, I mean, if you actually our all-in sustaining cost is coming down. It was 998 because we produced so little in April. But I mean, actually, hopefully, if we sustain production as it should be, and I can go into why that's possible with the second ball mill coming online, we should see our AISC dropping significantly. And of course, gold's actually at 1450. So if we do 120,000 ounces with a free cash margin of $500 to $600 an ounce, well, then you're talking more like $70 million of EBITDA a year. I guess the one important point you're not factoring into your maths there is you know, the repayment of debt and interest, which comes out of EBITDA. So it's not free cash, but we are deleveraging the company extremely fast at a sort of $2 million a month number. So I think things are looking good.
Yeah, absolutely. So just, I mean, so you had some issues and obviously I don't want to get too much into those, but do you think those now issues are behind you?
Well, I mean, I guess what I've learned over the last 12 months is your issues are behind you until you come across another issue that's mining. But I'm really proud of the team and the way they've handled the challenges and the difficulties. And yes, I mean, we've got stocks on the ROM pad. We're producing the ounces in terms of getting through the depletion at the Commander West pit, which was a big issue. You know, there was less gold than we had anticipated in our model simply because the artisanal miners had mined it out, and we're now getting beneath that. I think a lot of the issues are behind us, and I think the team is continuing to improve by the day. And I think, you know, a big factor is that our second ball mill is now online. I mean, it's still in commissioning, but all signs are good that it's going to hit nameplate, and that gives us the ability to push more throughput and, you know, push the numbers a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so looking at, you know, it's all going well at the moment. Everyone's expecting gold to keep rising, and you've got the Trump trade war, people devaluing, even US, you know, US have reduced the interest rate on the dollar. So, as you know, gold strengthens off the back of that.
You know what it's like, Justin, when things are going down, everyone thinks they're going low, and when things are going up, people think they're going higher. I mean, I think gold's had a hell of a good run, so we want to be careful not to get carried away with that. However, as you say, there's a big trade war with China and Trump. There's Brexit going on. We don't know what Trump will do with Europe. And, you know, one thing I should say about Hummingbird is we produce gold and it's in dollars and our costs are often in euros because French West Africa is linked to the euro. So in terms of the Brexit piece, which is something I get asked quite often, we're pretty insulated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. People saying we are now at the end, it's an end game of the, you know, economy run up. And of course, that's pretty much good for you, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. uncertainty is often good for gold. So you could argue that when the Brexit piece is finished and it all settles down, then that will have a negative impact on gold because people know the lie of the land a bit more. But I think there's a lot more uncertainty around than just Brexit.
Yeah, because the Brexit thing is only at the moment they're just arguing over the initial divorce deal, not actually going forward the trade deal. So it'll go on
That's
for
exactly
years.
Right.
And
exactly.
People are saying we are now cyclically at the end of a bull run, and you know, so people are genuinely looking for hedges, and one of the best hedges you know, of all time has been gold. So I can't see, you know, obviously he's always a left fielder. I mean, I can't see downside here, but of course, there's, you know, you think, well, where can I hedge here? People think either go cash or either go gold or Bitcoin, maybe.
Well,
I don't want to get involved with Bitcoin.
Gold's the original Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I know.
So I think it's the real deal, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, Dan, one final thing. If someone likes the sound of this, you know, are not following the company as yet, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, well, if I'm limited to three, I'll say the evidence is a steadily improving operational performance if you look at the last few months and carrying on. If we maintain that trajectory, you're right, Hummingbird's lagging the market in that regard. I'd say that with the second ball mill online, we've got more flexibility and the ability to push more tons. So that should help our performance for the remainder of this year. I mean, obviously, both those lead into the fact that we're dirt cheap at the moment, which is a good reason to buy shares in Hummingbird. And I think there's still a lot of upside around our understanding of the geological models and the high-grade structures that are present in these resources that we've been working on a lot over the last few months, and we continue to work on underground studies to develop the potential with those. So, I mean, I'm really excited about the future. I mean, it's been a tough 12 months and been a lot of challenges to overcome, but, you know, touch wood, we've overcome them, and the team's done a great job, and we're looking forward.
Marvellous stuff, Dan. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time. Cheers. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tony Sirichik, Chief Executive Officer of Salt Lake Potash. SO4 is the ticker there. Tony, thanks for joining me.
Thanks a lot for having me, Justin.
No worries. I've just been looking. The market's quite brutal today, but in fact, last few weeks, everything. We've got Brexit over here. We've got global growth worries, but it isn't reflected in your share price. It's really rallying strongly, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're really happy with the performance of the share price. You know, we have had good news flows coming out continually as we rapidly progress the Lakeway project, and I think that's holding that upward support.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll dig into that in a bit. But before we get into the news of late, for people not familiar with Salt Lake Potash, just give them a brief summary as to the company, if you could, Tony.
Sure. Located in the Western Australian Northern Goldfields, close proximity to Perth in Western Australia, Salt Lake Potash has a portfolio with 9 very large potassium-rich salt lakes. And from those lakes, we extract brine. We put that brine under sun in big evaporation ponds. We then harvest salts and put them through a relatively simple process plant to make sulfate of potash.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose a really significant piece of news here today is sort of talking about the project financing. Take us through that, if you could, Tony.
Yeah, Justin, huge news this morning with the announcement that we've secured project financing for our first Lakeway SOP project, and that's being supported by Taurus Funds Management, and they are making US $150 million debt available to our project.
Yeah, and tell us how far this will take you and the potential just from this, and then if you could extrapolate this and tell us of the wider potential of the projects there, if you could.
Sure. So the $150 US million dollar debt package that's come through this morning sits alongside a $28 million Australian dollar equity package that we've raised in two instances in the last couple of months. So in an Australian dollar term, there's just over $240 million that's made available now through the debt and equity in terms of project financing. And if you go and reference our scoping study that was released a couple of months ago, that's roughly the figure that sits in that study for the completion of the build of the Lakeway project.
Yeah. And take us over timescales, if you could, Tony. What are you hoping to achieve by when?
Sure. So it's a staged funding that was announced this morning. So the first stage is $30 million. That'll help us finalise the bankable feasibility study. It's also supporting us in a recent transaction that we've executed with Blackham Resources. That's a very big strategic play, where the tenements that we are working on that are currently in Blackham Resources' name transfer over to Salt Lake Potash. So we get the land that we're working on, we de-risk the project, we extinguish sterilisation drilling that would have been required on someone else's land. We also buy back and terminate the brine royalty that was sitting over that land. And we also have access to a bore field on the edge of the lake and get access to processed water. So a huge value add to the project and a big de-risk there.
Yeah, and for people not familiar with the figures here on the scoping study, could you just give us a top line over that, of the Lakeway scoping study, if you could?
So Lakeway, the first project, near Wiluna in Western Australia, the capex in that study was Australian dollars 237 million, that would present an annual EBITDA, Australian dollars 90 million, post-tax NPV of 381 million Aussie, and a post-tax IRR of 27%, resulting in just over a three-year payback. So very, very compelling financials and a very strong project, Lakeway.
Yeah, and this is just one of how many potential projects, you reckon?
Well, look, it's one. There's 9 lakes in the portfolio. Yeah. That's not saying we're going to rush out and build 9 SOP projects. But there's certainly, you know, we have a scoping study on another one of our lakes, Lake Wells, and that's at 400,000 tonnes per annum. So it starts to put volume into the minds of investors and puts this sort of multi-lake province, if you like, into real perspective. Once we get Lakeway up and running, and into operation, we can cookie cut, control C, control V, all of the construction learnings, the ramp up learnings across to other lakes. So very, very scalable and very suited to a growing volume project.
Yeah, marvelous stuff. Okay, one final thing then, Tony. If someone's listening right now, likes the sound of this, but are not yet following the story, Could you give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please?
Sure, Justin. I call them the three T's. So technically, very, very strong project, supported by very accessible infrastructure and a very high-grade resource that can, we know, is proven now to make a high-grade product. The second one's the team. You know, we've got over 500 years of construction operation experience in the team now, over 100 people employed with Salt Lake Potash, making this vision into a reality. And the third one is the thematics, you know, the growing population, the reduction in arable land, the shift of middle class society wants and desires really supports a growth on the demand side.
Marvellous.
So that is the technicals, the team, and the thematics.
Marvellous stuff. Tony, good to chat. Well, and T for Tony. Thanks for chatting to us, Tony. And hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Great to talk. Thanks, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. At five, it is Dev Clever Holdings. That's up 1.45%. A bit of news out today. At four, Itaconics, down 3%. ITX sticker there. At three, Petrel Resources. PET. All right, PET is a ticker there. PET. Ooh, PET up 67%. At two, Bushveld Minerals. Bushveld. BMN is ticker there. And number one most followed company is Emotion Group. They were my star of the week on the video last night. I do a video twice a week on YouTube, by the way. Check it out. Just Justin Waite Investing. And Emotion, due to the director buys in the open market, I like that a lot after their fundraise. And like I said, you know, the reason why they invested 190 grand's worth on top of their substantial holding is because they see at this level, I believe, it to be a good investment. IMMO is ticker. That's what I think there. It's my opinion, not financial advice. Okay. Top five most liked RNSs are as followed. Zenith Energy at five, update on debt financing. At four, Polarian Imaging, phase three clinical trials update. They're progressing very well and they restate that news will be out before the end of Q3 on the enrollment there. At three, Clough Natural Resources, operations update, license P2252. At two, Petromatad, spud of Red Deer and operational update. And the number one most liked RNS is from Anglo-African Oil and Gas. It's an operations update. They talk about the overview of the operational plan, technical details of the drilling plan, planning the operations, and topside infrastructure. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.